Well, my 7 minutes, because I have only 7 minutes. I don't know why seven, but anyway, I try to transmit to you an idea about the political use of human rights as an approach for the human right to health. And the first thing I think is important to precise is that what means to use human rights as a concept, a political concept, and at the same time a political tool. Because when we talk about human rights, for most of the people, it's a kind of a theoretical approach for something that's not material. And many people in third world countries say, well, but what is the utility of the human rights approach, since nobody respects human rights? So the question is very interesting. And in order to rescue the power of the human rights, it's necessary that everybody could understand the political meaning of that. And first of all, the human rights approach establishes that the answers regarding the rights must be accessible for everybody. Do you agree with this? That's the first question, and fundamental question. Because if we use human rights approach and we establish that this right must be accessible for everybody, the first part of our political equation is established. Because then I need to ask myself, how can I reach everybody? Okay? Second aspect of the human rights approach is that not only is necessary to reach everybody, but is necessary to answer to everybody according to their needs. It means that we need to have a comprehensive approach in the sense that each need of the people that can be recognized as a right must be answered. And then the needs become rights. Okay? That's very important to understand. And connecting universal perspective with this comprehensive perspective, then we will arrive to the third fundamental aspect of the rights as a tool, is that equity as a main category for rights. So it means that if I have the same need than other person, we both need to have the same answer. It's fundamental. And this triad, the triad aspects of human rights approach, establish for us a very powerful argument in terms of moral imperative. In which sense? Is morally imperative, since we adopt the human rights approach, is morally imperative to say why we treat people with the same answer according to their needs. And this political argument that is the basis for justice, derived from human rights approach, is absolutely fundamental to prepare the global debate. I mean, if we have this moral imperative, we won't accept that for the third world countries, we will propose a basic package of healthcare, comparing with the full package of care that we have in the central capitalistic countries. It will be morally unacceptable. And this moral imperative will generate a second imperative dimension. That's the ethical imperative. That will ask us how to do that in order to respect the moral imperative. And then, I insist, we cannot propose things that will be different with the conscience that the results will be different. I mean, if I propose an answer that's not enough, that won't avoid the avoidable deaths, that won't avoid the morbidity of people, what I am proposing is a kind of conscious inassistance. And this inassistance generate an ethical conflict, because I have the means to avoid the maternal deaths, infant deaths, etc. But I'm not providing the way to arrive there. So in this perspective, we'll be obliged to review our concept of the political economy of health. Not only thinking about countries and within countries, but as well as on global perspective. And to be just, in the sense that the justice will be to answer according to the needs of the people. In this perspective, equity as a conceptual category is fundamental to be coherent with the human rights approach. And the third and last imperative is the political imperative that will ask us to respect the political timing of the answers. We cannot promote or propose to the third world countries that they need to wait a little bit, maybe more 200, 300 years, to arrive to the same standard that we have in the central countries. Do you understand that? It's not politically acceptable in terms of political imperative that's connected with the previous ethical and moral imperatives. So, if we really use radically the human rights approach, we will have a very powerful substrate to promote a political debate. And in this perspective, what will be a first and very important question is to question the kind of state we have. Because if we have a state, according to the human rights approach, this state must be a social state oriented to provide national answers to their citizens, but at the same time, morally speaking, compromised with the same answer to the other countries. And then facing the problem of the asymmetrics of the relationships among countries. In this sense, the problem is not the budget for health. The problem is how richness is circulating within countries and among countries. So, what I have been insisting very much is that our agenda is not about poverty. Our agenda is about redistribution of richness. And the whole richness is produced and concentrated and not redistributed. So please, stop to talk about poverty. We don't need pro-poor policies. We need redistributive richness policies. This is radically different. And is much more coherent with a human rights approach. This is radically different. Then it will oblige us to think about these frequent problems of inequity, as Narendra showed us, in a different perspective. In a perspective where I am interested to understand how richness is circulating in the communities, in the families, in the countries, in order to reorient the access to richness. Because the point is, we never had before in the history of mankind so much richness. But we never had so much concentration. That's the point. So in the case of health and human right to health, is an extraordinary opportunity to make a very effective redistribution. Because the basic right to life connected with this human right to health is a very solid argument for that. But we need to rescue another very important thing. Is we need to rescue the existence of the public, the public spaces, in the sense of the political definition of political of public space, because it was eliminated. And according to Hannah Arendt, the first thing that disappeared in a totalitarian regime is the public space. We can come and debate, but it will have no consequence on reality. Think about that. Because we need to come back to a political debate on the really important issues, as justice, as the aspect of the global justice, as something that could reorient our action. But what is necessary to understand is that we need to debate to act. Not only to debate to enrich our intellectual satisfaction. So we need to think what is useful for action. And in this sense, it's extremely important to recognize that if you don't have the public space, we won't be able to promote the public goods. In the sense that the consciousness, the political consciousness, is a fundamental ingredient, is a necessary element to be used in order to build the sense of the public good and then to break the hegemony of a private perspective, individualistic perspective of the goods. And in this sense, the role of the state is fundamental. So I come back to the idea that in order to achieve A human right to health, we need, first of all, to define the state as a state that will be the guarantee of the human rights. So we need a radical democratizing process of the state. No more the states that are only taking care of the rich, only taking care of the privileged, only taking care of the capital, but a state that could be able to take care of the people. And it means to have a national approach, a nationalistic approach, because it could be a little bit contradictory. But in order to be global, in this perspective of justice, we need to have a very clear identity of the state as a national state. And a state very much connected with the social rights of the people. And in those social rights is included the economical rights. Because this is another thing that we don't understand. The social rights begin with the economical rights. The right to be able to receive the benefits of the richness. So in this perspective, this new state, this other state, this desirable state, is something that must be very present in our fights, in our struggles, and not leave the state besides as something that we don't like, and so we live as it is. It's necessary to debate the nature of the state, the nature of the social contract. Because otherwise, we won't be able to restructure the relationship of capital and work, for instance. Because, and I apologize with our trade unions mates, the problem is that today the trade unions are captured by the defense of the formal work, forgetting, especially in the third world, that most of our population is not included in the formal work market. So we need to propose another perspective where everybody is included. And this perspective is based on human rights. And finally, the human rights is a system. I cannot provide the human right to health without the human right to education. We cannot provide human right to education without the human right to work, without the human right to a dignifying salary and whatever. So we need to understand that when we claim for a human rights approach, we are claiming for a system of rights, where the state, in this context, will be defined not as a single provider of healthcare, but as the warranty, a global warranty of the whole rights. And it means that this approach, based on human rights, on this whole or complete perspective, give us the arguments about how to promote a debate where the society itself could be the subject of discussion. What kind of society we want, and what kind of human health we want in this context. Otherwise, we can begin to do a very particular debate, and then we stay within or inside our church, the church of the health activists. And in this sense, we are condemned to not be effective in our struggle. So these are more or less 7 minutes to provoke you. Thank you.